You are invited to the 65th Annual Bethany Baptist Church Spiritual Revival and Missions Conference on August 3rd and August 5th through the 10th. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Alan Parr Jr., creator of the YouTube ministry The Beat, which stands for Biblical Encouragement and Truth. Plan to join us and be blessed by the Word of God, uplifting praise and worship, and awesome missionary testimonies. We know that you will be encouraged in your faith. For information, visit the Bethany Baptist Church website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or call the church office at 412-242-3255. Thank you.
Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Religious and Economical Babylon, Part 1.
We have actually come to Revelation 17 and 17 and 18, where we will be looking at the fall of Babylon, the fall of Babylon. So this is, and you're going to see today how relevant Revelation 17 is to where we are today. You know, I'm going to bring in some analogies of some things that we see around us. And we're going to look at the scripture, see what the scripture says in Revelation 17. And hopefully we can be strengthened in our faith. Now, I did send out notes for those of you who received the notes. Now, as you know, I have written a book on Bible prophecy. And so I'm actually redoing the book, rewriting it, you know, and updating. And so what you actually have there, the notes that you received is the chapter from the book. Now, during the Bible study today, I'm not going to go as deep because there's some deep stuff in this chapter, right? So I'm, I don't want to go too deep today, but I want to make it relevant to where we are. But for those of you who desire a deeper dive, you can actually read the notes and it takes you into a real deep dive. So just wanted to point that out. All right. The fall of Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18. So Revelation 17 and 18 actually deals with a religious and an economic system. John here is using Babylon to represent these systems. Now, again, you know, in the notes, I get into a little bit deeper into this, but that's what we're looking at here. In Revelation 17, we're looking at a religious system, a religious worldwide system that affects this whole world. And then next week, we're going to look at Revelation 18, which will deal with the economic system. In your notes on the first page, you know, I give different viewpoints as to how people have interpreted Revelation 17 and 18. You know, I looked at, you know, Charles mentioned David Jeremiah. You know, he did a commentary on Revelation. You know, I looked at his interpretation of Revelation 17 and 18. I looked at Bruce Metzger, who's a Greek scholar, and I looked at his interpretation. Dr. Ed Heinsohn, who just this past year went home to be with the Lord, one of my professors. He also was on the program, The King is, The King is Coming, and I put his your viewpoints there. Dr. Jack Van Impe, who went home to be with the Lord within the last couple years. You know, I put his viewpoint Dr. John Walvoort, who was the president of Dallas Seminary. I put his two viewpoints of Revelation 17 and 18. And then Harold Wilmington, you know, one of my professors. And again, every time I mention his name, I always mention Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. And if you don't have that, that's a great resource, Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. So I listed in your notes there his interpretation of Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. So again, Revelation 17 and 18 is referring to Babylon, right? But it's also referring to something else. You know, John is using it as a code word, you know, in 17 for a religious system, and then in 18 to an economic system. So let's look at Revelation 17 in verse 1. Look what John says. And there came one of the seven angels who had seven bowls, and that takes us back to the seven bowl judgments that we studied, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I will show thee the judgment that will come upon the great harlot that sit upon many waters. Now, you know, the King James says something else. It uses a little rougher word. You know, I have a hard time now, saints. I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time saying that word. So I like the word harlot better. But I think the other word is more descriptive of what we're going to be looking at this afternoon. And so the angel told John, look, come here, and I'm going to show you what's going to happen to the great harlot that sits upon many waters. And so you see a picture there on your screen, of, and it's going to describe the harlot here in more detail as we go through this. You see her sitting upon many waters. So, you know, we're going to look at, you know, who is this harlot? So John is taken to a place to see the judgment upon the harlot. In this verse, the harlot, now watch this, saints, watch this, don't miss this. In this verse, the harlot represents the adulterous religious system. The harlot sits on many waters. This symbolizes her universal influence. And we see this in verse 15, where John says of Revelation 17, where he said, and he said to me, the waters which thou saw where the harlot sits are people and multitude and nation and tongues. So this represents, this harlot had great influence, right? Sat upon many waters. Now again, as I've been teaching, Revelation is highly symbolic. And so what do the many waters represent? That represents influence. So since the time of Christ, there have been many false churches and many false teachers. There is a specific spirit behind this, and it is the spirit of the harlot spoken of in Revelation 17. So when we look at false teachers, and we look at false churches, and we look at false prophets, that's the spirit of the harlot here in Revelation 17. And we're going to see that as we go through this passage this afternoon. The Bible is very clear. There is a religious world system that is diametrically opposed to the true Christian faith. And the harlot represents that religious system. Now, you have this little chart in your notes. But let me just real quick go through this religious system that this harlot represents. And we can see how it is operative in the world today. So again, you might not be able to see this clearly on the screen, but you know, we emailed the notes, so you should have this in your notes. The denial or misconception of the Trinity, right? If anybody tries to tell you that the Trinity is anything other than one, that's the spirit of the harlot. So we see that the spirit of the harlot is the denial of the Trinity. The spirit of the harlot. If somebody tells you that the Bible is not the absolute authority, that the Bible is not inspired by God, the Bible is not the word of God, then that's the spirit of the harlot. You know, I wrote a whole book on why the Bible is a God-breathed book. I teach a class on apologetics where we defend the Bible. And, you know, all these attacks on the Bible are, no matter who it is, that there's no substance behind it. And so we know, so saints, this is what I'm trying to tell you. All right, if you understand what I'm saying, what I'm going to teach you today, then you got it, right? When you see people attacking the scripture, that's the spirit of the harlot, right? I'm going to go through and I'm going to show you this afternoon. You know, the spirit of the harlot is false doctrine, is false teaching, is false prophets, right? If somebody has that spirit of legalism, where they tell you that you can be saved by doing good works, and they emphasize works over grace, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here in a second, then that's the spirit of the harlot. If somebody tells you that you can be saved through something other than Christ, then that's the spirit of the harlot. You know, Acts says there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved, that Jesus is the only way. I heard somebody put it like this, J-E-S-U-S. The J stands for Jesus. The E stands for exactly. The S stands for seats. The U stands for us. And the S stands for sinners. Jesus exactly seats us sinners. It's only through grace that you're saved. It's not of works. Lest anyone should boast. So if somebody tells you that you can get salvation in something other than Christ, that's the spirit of the harlot. If people show outward works, but there's no relationship with him, that's the spirit of the harlot. Remember Jesus, these people said, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Lord, didn't we do mighty works in your name? Right? And what did Jesus say? Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. That was a spirit of what we see here in Revelation 17. You know, people that are into idolatry and demon worship, that's the spirit of the harlot. Because the spirit of the harlot wants to move you from true worship and to move you into idolatry. And to worship demons. And you know, the day that we live in, it's becoming more and more prevalent seeing people worshiping the devil and seeing people worship demons and seeing people, you know, becoming idolatrous. When we misunderstand the nature of Jesus, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here in a second, where there's a form of godliness, but there's no power, right? So these are all the spirit of this harlot spoken of in Revelation 17, all right? Now, there's a false church, and then there's the bride of Christ. In Revelation 17, it talks about the false church. We see that there is the bride of Christ, that we are the bride of Christ. So in Revelation 1, the harlot, the false church is identified as the harlot. But we see in Revelation 19 that the people of God, you and I, we are called the bride of Christ. Wow. We are his bride, the bride of Christ. In Revelation 17, verse 2, the harlot causes people to be defiled. And we're going to see that here in a second. But what does Jesus want out of his fallen? He wants purity. That's why, you know, people get involved in all kinds of stuff and say that, you know, they love the Lord, right? Well, I'm not going to question anybody's salvation. That's, you know, that's between God. But all I'm going to say, if you believe that you can live any old way that you want to live, then that's following this harlot theology, because the harlot is all about defilement, right? That the harlot is trying to get people to be defiled, where Christ wants his followers to be pure. The harlot is dressed in scarlet and purple, and we're going to see what that represents here in a second. But the bride of Christ, oh man, it's clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The harlot, or the false church, is called mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. The bride of Christ is called the children of light, and we are called to be salt in the earth. The harlot sheds blood, right? But we've been what? Washed in the blood. Amen. You know, the harlot is about shedding blood, but we have been washed in the blood. The harlot eventually will be stripped and destroyed, but the bride of Christ will be clothed and reign forever. I like that song. And he should, we sing around Christmas time, right? The hallelujah chorus, right? And we're going to reign with him. So here's some differences between the false church and the bride of Christ. You can see there's some very stark differences. All right. Timothy, or Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Listen to this, saints. Listen to this. Giving heed of demons. Again, the spirit of the harlot in Revelation 17. Notice he says that some will depart from the faith. There will be a departure, that people will begin to accept other philosophies and other doctrines. You know, just think, you know, somebody said that there's a growing group of people in our country today. In the growing group of people, they're called the nuns. No, I'm not talking about the ladies that serve in the Catholic Church with the black and white hoods. No, not those nuns. But these are, let me spell it for you, N-O-N-E-S, the nuns. And that's a group of people who don't believe in anything. You know, they have been turned off by religion. They have been turned off by Christianity. And so they call themselves the nuns. We don't believe in none of them, right? So there's a departure from the faith. People are leaving the faith. And man, would to God that, you know, me and my wife, we were praying, and you know, we were just praying and saying, man, Christ is the only hope for this world. You know, people shooting one another. Man, what a tragedy that we hear about down in Nashville, where this person went in and killed these 9-year-old kids and adults, right? Man, Christ is the only answer. But yet and still, instead of people drawing close to Christ, that there is a departure from Christ. We see there's degradation, and that is to lower the quality or the cause to deteriorate. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, right? Drawing people away. And then there's deception, all right? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, deceptions. Jesus said in Matthew 24, many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. In Matthew 7:15, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So as we look at this, you know, John spells this out in the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Look at our world today. Do you know that there's a move out And it started back in 2022 to have one world religion. And that one world religion is called Chrislam, right? And what they were trying to do is combine Christianity and Islam. Now, 40% of Christians believe that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. 40%. You know, now, you know, again, I know we have people that are not members of Bethany Baptist Church on this Bible study. I understand that. But I hope that if you come to Bethany Baptist Church, that 40% of the people at Bethany would not believe that Christians and Muslims worship the same God, you know, because we don't. You know, the God of Islam is completely different than the God of Christianity. You know, the God of Islam, you know, as you look at him, you know, it's very difficult to have a personal relationship with the God of Islam. And, you know, I don't have time to get into it right now. But, you know, Christianity is all about a relationship with God. So, you know, we don't worship the same God. Some Christian leaders are promoting Chrislam, right? And what do they say? They say that Christianity and Islam are compatible, that the Bible and the Quran are both holy texts, which are completely different messages. Even some stories in the Quran contradict some of the stuff that's in the Bible. So, but they say, well, you know, the Christians have their holy texts and Muslims have their holy texts, but they're not compatible. They're not the same. Both religions hold to a standard of morals and ethics, which that may be true, but that's no reason for us to want to combine. And then they say, well, we both worship the God of Abraham. Well, I don't agree with that. Now, you know, the Muslim faith originated from one of the descendants of Abraham, but that wasn't the God of Abraham. You know, Allah, Muhammad, well, Allah is not the God of Abraham. So we see that again. Look at what's happening. This the spirit of Revelation 17, trying to do what? Trying to bring something together that God never intended to be together. Now here, this might shock you right here. Some of you may remember, the Pope claims that all religions worship the same God, right? And he is promoting, you know, this whole idea of a one world religion concept, right? Now, the Pope, who was probably the most highly regarded religious figure in the whole world, right? And he says that we worship the same God. So again, it's this spirit that's pulling us away from the truth. And people will turn away from sound doctrine and the truth of scriptures. Notice, you know, what it says here, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4. So again,
thank you for joining us today on Inkirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Religious and Economical Babylon, Part 1, you can contact us at inkirkandjesus.org and request Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 1. That's inkirkandjesus.org and request Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 1. From our Bible prophecy series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teaching by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 2034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and her staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be.